out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 24th of July 2019. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. We're in the middle of the week. It's Wednesday. That means we have revisionist historian Carolyn Jaeger with us from carolynjaeger.net. Carolyn, good morning to you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing real well, Sven. How are you doing?
Excellent, excellent. Really good. I'm quite encouraged by Boris Johnson being elected to Prime Minister today, yesterday and today. And I'm also encouraged by something that I've just had a look at on your website to do with Josh Hawley. And the first time I came across Josh Hawley was recently at Trump's social media summit, where he seemed to have a major role. Trump introduced him as the man that was going to be looking into the regulation that is going to force the social media companies to adhere to free speech for everyone. And that was the first time I came across him, and I thought, now he looks interesting. I like what he had to say. I like the fact that he's young. Does anybody know anything about him? And it looks like you've been doing some background research into him, and also a particularly good speech that he's just given that really seems to have upset the Jews as well. So I'm hoping you're going to tell us all about that today, Carolyn.
Well, thank you, Sven. Yeah, there is. I'd like to say just one little bit about what's going on today. Boris Johnson has is going to be, or maybe he already has, I don't know, been made prime minister. And I'm happy about that, too. It's a move forward. It's got to be something of an improvement over what's been going on. And then in Germany, they've got this Annette Kramp-Karrenbauer, or whatever, is moving forward to becoming defense minister today. That's, you know, just kind of strengthens her position as the up-and-coming new Angela Merkel, which is, you know, it's something you can discuss, you know, and think about and talk about. Or, I mean, you know, it's something that is actually happening that is changing things a little bit or reinforcing certain things. So, I was watching a little bit of the Mueller hearings this morning in the U.S., and pretty interesting. My impression of Mueller is that he looks very weak, and he looks like he doesn't have any teeth in his mouth, and he can, and his voice is trembly. You know, and yet they sit around on these pundits and praise him to the skies like he's such a strong, great American and so on, and, you know, unimpeachable behavior and so on. So what little I've saw, the Republicans were doing a good job in pointing out his deficiencies and flaws, but he just sits there, says nothing, and keeps saying he can't talk about that. He will only talk about what's in his report, and he left a lot of things out of that report. So that's interesting. And, you know, yeah, I say he's trembly. I think he, in an old age way, like he seems, you know, practically senile. And I just don't think he was the strong, powerful leader of that investigation that he's portrayed as. Maybe I'm wrong, but he doesn't seem, you know, he seems like he needs a lot of support. And so that's just my impression. But there's a lot breaking loose here. The thing is, I just want to say this real quick. I, and this ties in with the Josh Hawley. I'm not sure if things can really break loose. You know, they seem to be breaking loose. They tell us, oh boy, this is coming up. This is going to break things loose. And there's so many questions, so much wrongdoing behind the scenes that took place. But you never get it. It never breaks. You know, they talk about it and talk about it, and then they're able to avoid it, cover it up some way or other, and things go on. And this is what this Mueller investigation could break lots of things loose. But from what I saw, it's probably not going to. And that's what gets discouraging. So that, and the same with Boris Johnson, you always hope, you know, that somebody will do something, you know, that the others wouldn't do, but they don't either. And like the way I see it with Trump, he can't. He wants to, but he can't, because there's so many layers in governments, you know, not allowing real truth to come out. And they're afraid that if, on the best show of it, they're afraid that if things break out, the government will collapse, everything will go to hell, and, you know, we'll be in a mess. So they want to keep stability. And so that's the argument, probably. I don't know whether that's good or not. So that leads us to what's going to be happening in the USA. That's what I've been thinking about. What's going to happen after Trump? You know, I'm pretty confident Trump will win re-election, although there's people who say they're not, but I am. So there's, you know, four more years, but then what is this Republican Party, and how do we keep that kind of excitement going that Trump has engendered in this country? And then this speech by Josh Hawley came up. I was aware of him since Trump's campaign, and knew he was running for Missouri senator, and he's quite impressive. And so, but when I read it, and as I was telling you, then I went to look up and find out more about his family background, and man, it wasn't there. You know, Wikipedia, he keeps it off, and nobody else would be keeping it off. It's not like they couldn't find it. If somebody couldn't find it if they wanted to. And then I looked at all his pages, everything that I could find through the search engines, and every page about him that said biography, it was the same. It starts with his college education. You know, they do that. And there's nothing more and nothing before that. So I pointed that out in the beginning of the article, which is on my website now at the top. And that makes me question, you know, what he's hiding. Now, it's been a few days since I wrote that, and I haven't come across anything else. And thinking about his family and so on, and I don't think he is a secret Jew or a crypto Jew or anything. I don't know what it is about why he doesn't want, you know, if it's just a privacy thing, but I don't see why. I mean, you know, most people are proud, or not, are at least willing to say, you know, who they come from and where they come from and, you know, what their ethnicity is and so on. His is not given anywhere. And if anybody knows it or can find it, I hope they will write a comment or let me know. And I'm more than willing, as always, to be wrong about anything if I, you know, get better information. So here we are. His speech drew a lot of criticism from Jews, and that's what I pointed out. Because he used the word, everything he says, it wasn't just the word. What he was saying about cosmopolitanism, and people who are not really connected to the country they live in, but think in terms of world government, which is, you know, worldliness. You know, when I was growing up, I thought of my, read a lot. I read a lot of books. Probably I should have been guided in my reading and I should have had some oversight, but I didn't. And so I just read a lot and all kinds of things and all these novels, famous by famous, world famous authors. And so I got all this input. That was probably, I romanticized it, probably. I was just a teenager. So I got a lot of ideas and I got a bigger vocabulary. And I just thought of myself already then as, oh, I got to break out of this little town I live in and get out in the world and have all these adventures and all this and I thought of myself as a world citizen. Yeah, I used that phrase, and I thought that was the way to be. I go back. I'm like going back the other direction, and yet I wonder. Well, would you really be happy that way? But it comes to where it's not about how you're happy. You can be happy anyway if you unless you're arguing with yourself about it. And I'm getting off base here, but you can be happy anyway. You have to think finally in terms of what's right and what's best for you and all your people, not just your own personal little fantasies that you live in. So this brings me to this guy, and overall, I'd like to know what you think about it. But overall, I think he's got so many good. He's got the kind of things that we need, and we need to be thinking about the future and not just let it happen. And learn more about him. I'd like to know more about him. I do want to know who his parents are, what they did for what their occupation was and where they came from. I do want to know that. I think we need to know that.
That used to be the most important thing. I mean, I'm reading a book at the moment, the History of the Danes. And the thing that you really take away from that book is the importance of your heritage. It's all about who your father was before that, mm-hmm. and who your father was before that. And they don't care what you do for a living. They don't care what you've done in your life. All they're interested in is where did you come from? Because you can only be the sum of your ancestors. You can't be anything else. And depending on who they were, that determines the potential that a person has. And that's something that we seem to have forgotten today. And I take it it's not just Josh Hawley's background that's hidden like that. But they don't want us to know. They don't want us to place any importance on where people have come from, what their heritage is.
That's exactly what this cosmopolitan attitude is. That doesn't matter. You fit in anywhere. You go here, there, whatever, and you can, learn their ways and become like them. And you're not. And that's I believed that. I inculcated myself with that, and so I guess I know what I'm talking about when it comes to that. And now I think that's wrong. I think what you just said is the correct way to look at it. And that's how I see myself now. And, we are the sum of, our parents and grandparents. And it doesn't really go back all that far, because once you get to, people mention great-great-great-grandfathers, well, then you've got 32 sets of grandparents. And what one of them was or did is not all that important, but when it comes to your parents and grandparents, for the most part, that's what you're made up of. And we really are. I agree with that. And that's the difference between what Josh Hawley seems to believe that too and seems to believe in, and this cosmopolitan, which is the liberal communist globalist attitude, which we know is bad for us.
where he was speaking about nationalism, praising nationalism. And one bit that I thought was actually good, I mean, he said America began 2,000 years ago with Christ. Now, unfortunately, he called Christ a Jewish rabbi, which shows, I guess, his loyalties to Israel and to the Jews. But to connect America into that.
Well, to the regular basic Christian teachings, you know.
Yeah, America into that. I mean, that's something that, you know, the countries of Europe have always done. And again, that's something that we haven't heard for a long time. I mean, Britain always used to say that it was all connected into, you know, from Christ, basically. And Britain was a Christian country and it was fulfilling, Christian ideals. And he seems to be doing that as well, so, linking America into that and firmly saying that this is a European identity, basically, but using coded language, I guess, by linking it with Christendom and the birth of Christ. So I thought that was interesting as well. And the way the ADL have attacked him, and they phoned him up and scolded him. I mean, that just shows you how much power they have. This group phoned him up to tell him what words he could and could not use in his own language. I mean, I'm quite aghast at that.
Well, it goes on all the time. And that's something I think we don't point out enough. It is pointed out, but I think that is the whole thing that is so revolting is the way these Jews come out and say, well, it's always, and the ADL is usually the worst. It's ideal what they say. You know, they point out they don't like cosmopolitan elites and they don't like money changing Wall Street, both of which are absolutely true. But, you know, they say, we hope the senator will be more careful with his words in the future. Scold, scold, scold. Well, you know, what should be said back to them is shut the hell up, you know, or what is it to you? Or I'm not trying to please you. That's not why I'm speaking. I care about the American nation and things like that. But no, nobody says a word. And then the only thing they quote are these Jews and what they say. And so this is what we have to be concerned about. This is the media. I'd like to throw in here just real quick, because I think this is a theme that I feel like I should go into more, and is that, you know, it's not new to us, but the media is the enemy. The media is the enemy more than the Democrats, because the media is what tells us, what gives us what we can think and say and tell. Is they're describing everything every day. We know that, but, you know, and they want us thinking not just the political lines along which they're promoting, but they push politics, and people are more interested in politics because it's easier to follow than like foreign affairs and things, you know, more serious things. So every day this happened, that happened, and people are distracted into this political talk that goes on by the media. From thinking, I don't know, for themselves, or like reading books, like you were just mentioning, you know, or doing anything deeper than just what the latest politician said yesterday. So this the media is not doing us any favors and is not educating us in the least little bit, and they don't want to.
It's setting restrictions on the parameters of what we can think about and what we can talk about. That's what it's saying there. It's not acceptable to talk about nationalism. It's not acceptable to talk about cosmopolitanism. It's not acceptable to talk about money changers on Wall Street. And they don't want us thinking about that. But in a strange way, they are actually highlighting it, because I hadn't heard of this speech, but the Jews are now highlighting it. And I dare say probably more people will have heard about it now than would have done in the first place. I noticed that you drew a few links between some of what he was saying and some of what the National Socialist platform was as well. Quite a few links, I think, you know, maybe 10, 20 there or something you managed to find?
Yeah, I know I've got 12 points, but that's what they're basically comparing when they're criticizing what Hawley, well, because what I heard about it, I thought, well, that sounds, you know, like that's similar to Adolf Hitler. and they won't like that. And then turns out that they're aware of that. And then other people, I don't know where I saw some other people somewhere, at least one that mentioned that. So when I read the speech, for myself, you know, then I saw all these things, and I thought that's what I wanted to mention, because there's a lot. And here's the thing: this is for someone like this young man, Holly, and even Donald Trump and others. They say these things that are the same as what what the National Socialists were saying and wanted, and what actually the Hitler regime was all about until they forced him into war. And then these are the same people who demonize Nazism and so on, if, as they feel they must, you know, which is what the Jews demand again. But they actually agree, if they would quit the demonization and all the lies and so on and look at the real project that was going on by Adolf Hitler and his adherents, they would see that, you know, it was good, and they're in agreement with it today. But no, they're not. We're not allowed to do that. So that's where also the media comes in. Absolutely. I think, I don't know who's in control, whether it's the media or the globalist politicians. You know, I really don't know, because they're so married together. They own the media, or the media has become their voice, and they don't even have to tell it. They don't have to demand anything, and the media just is doing it. That's become the media. So, this is common, and I have noticed that. In fact, I wanted to write post something on my site about, from way back already, that Trump and Hitler, but I knew that's bad for Trump. And since I support Trump, I don't do that. You know, it doesn't help anything. But this is basically what we find, that the right wing and anything patriotic and nationalistic fits very well with Adolf Hitler's program. And yet they all have to. These are the very people who have come to, just as much as the left, attack and demonize anything to do with Nazism and Third Reich Germany. And it's really a shame. It's a shame. I don't know how to turn any of that around, because it gets deeper and deeper. And so now here we have this Holly, who is saying all these good things, but at the same time, he's going to go along with this general theme, just as Trump has done, because they're going to kill him if he doesn't, you know? I mean, not literally, but figuratively.
Well, I think whenever you talk about nationalism and you come up with nationalist ideas, I mean, people go along with them because they're good ideas. And then you say, well, the National Socialists did that. And then they're not quite so happy. And I guess the Jews that are complaining about the language that he's using, I mean, they must be aware that the policies that he's putting forward are the same ideas that the National Socialists had, but they can't really identify that as National Socialists, because it doesn't make Hitler look bad then, does it? I mean, if the Jews say, well, we can't have you saying this because Hitler said this, people are going to say, well, hang on a minute, those are good things that he's saying.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's going to confuse them.
Yeah, you know, Sven, I think we've always agreed on this, that that it's a mistake. It's a basic mistake of a white identitarian type people, or, you know, pro-white people, to have ever gone along with any anti-Hitler theme. But of course they did. And then they made it worse by, when they wanted to attack Israel by calling Israelis Nazis, that made it worse. And everybody joined into that. And I used to argue about it, against it. And nobody would listen to me, of course. So, so we've made these mistakes. And I'm it's not just because I'm a Hitler fanatic. It's because I truly believe that Hitler has to be rehabilitated to some degree in order for us to make any progress in being in nationalism and in being nationalist, because, you know, he is the poster boy of why nationalism is a bad idea and we can't do it. And people who think that they can do both find themselves in a conundrum and under attack, and it's hard to defend yourself if you're going to see Hitler as the evil enemy, you know. And in the United States, in order to project our heroism in World War II and World War I, we have to make Hitler the enemy, and that's what they did. That's why they created all that, went along with all that propaganda, because it helped our cause, the American cause, to defeat Germany and defeat those ideas and get, become in the interests of global control. So we're in a bind here. And what do you suggest? Because I think you agree with this.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, as I say, if any movement that bases its ideas on nationalism is going to come up with the same ideas that Adolf Hitler had, and then when you do that, you're going to get linked with Adolf Hitler, and you're going to get confusion, as you say. You're in a bit of a conundrum then, because you're promoting something that at the same time you've always been against. It's the same problem that we have in Britain with groups like Britain First, who praise Winston Churchill, but as soon as you start looking into the history of it, you realize that Winston Churchill was absolutely terrible for Britain, terrible for Europe, and an enemy of the white race. So you've got this confusion there. And the best idea is just to stick to the truth. Even if you think, well, maybe it's not that pragmatic to, maybe it's better if we do this. If you stick to the truth, then really you can't go wrong later on, because there may be things that you don't foresee happening. But if you stick to the truth, then mm-hmm. even if you get things you haven't foreseen, you can still say, well, at least I told the truth. And you know,
well, that's what I actually do try to do that, which is why, you know, as the older I get, the more I realize I've been in the right in this movement, and all these big names that are, you know, our people adulate so much have been in the wrong and are in the wrong. But, you know, it's because I try to just stick with the truth. I try to just project facts and promote facts that I can back up, and people will just ignore that then, because they can't answer it and they can't respond to it, so they just ignore me. If I'm in a, you know, get into a little bit of a back and forth with somebody, they'll just stop. So there you go. But now here's this, let's get back to Holly. Maybe I've gotten away from him too much. So here he is. He's a strong personality. He's a popular person. His integrity is unquestioned so far. And he's the right age. You know, he's young, but he's not too young. He's probably just right. And so, he likes Trump, and Trump likes him. And he's solid in the Republican Party. So, you know, I think he could carry the day as a presidential candidate in 2024.
He's very promising. He is promising, isn't he? I mean, I think we'll also see more from him with this. So with the outcome of this social media summit and the regulations that he's going to come up with, because he's also against, he's against abortion. He's against the healthcare bill. He supports gun rights. He supports Trump on the border. You know, I mean, it could all go wrong, but at the same time, there are lots of reasons to be hopeful with him, I think.
Well, I think we're lucky if we have somebody like him. They don't come along all the time, you know, and there's not a bunch of people who can be as self-assured as he is and hold the positions that he does, the political positions. So, and he's not the type who would cave in, I don't think, you know.
He looks like an alpha male.
We've got to find out why he's doesn't want to talk about his parents.
Yeah,
got to find that out. We got to know more about him.
You got some pictures on your site of him with his family, though, I think, haven't you?
Yeah. I found that picture is very good. And so that's when I thought, well, no, he's
not Jewish.
I doubt he's got any Jewish in him, no.
Yeah, it's a lovely family photo. You would think he would want to put that everywhere, not hide it
well,
away.
Well, I guess he doesn't want to take, you know, push his family out there. They're still so young and all. I think that's admirable too, not to use them like Ted Cruz. I can't stand Ted Cruz. And and now he's getting more independent again, and because maybe he thinks he can run in 2024 or something, but I can't stand him. And he used his kid, those little girls of his, shamefully during his campaign, and still would do it. So I think that says a lot again for this Holly. But, you know, the thing is that I was surprised to find out that Elijah was the 7th most popular boy's name in the United States in 2018. You know, yeah. You can't go by that anymore because Bible names have become extremely popular. And when they're as far out as Elijah, then you really, really changed.
Joshua is, that was Jesus's name as well. So I can't really see Jews christening their son Joshua. But just one final thing there. You know who Ted Cruz reminds me of, especially with his beard that he has now? Mark Weber.
that's
who he reminds me of.
Yeah.
All right, Carolyn, well, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.